saw two female disciples of Origen, namely Raius and Marcella, burned alive at Alexandria for the faith in Jesus Christ about the year 204. So among the disciples of Origen who became martyrs, there are also mentioned several women as faithful martyrs. However, we shall only refer to two of these, one called Raius, the other Marcella, who suffered their faith and lives to be tried with fire like gold that is refined. Raius was a catechumen, that is, one that was receiving instruction preparatory to baptism, and hence had not yet sealed her faith with water. Okay, so she had not been baptized, she was being instructed in that. All right, however, as Origen himself declares, she was baptized with fire, that is, burned alive. That's how she met her martyrdom. Marcella was the mother of Potamiena, of whom the ancients speak in such commendatory terms as having also laid down her life for the faith, but whom we pass over on account of certain remarks which she addressed to Basilides, her executioner. After insufferable and dreadful torments, she was burned by degrees in great constancy until she was reduced to ashes, and thus she exchanged this temporal for an eternal life. So that was Marcella. Raius and Marcella. Now, Basilides, the executioner who was converted, who from an executioner became a Christian, beheaded for the name of Christ at Alexandria about the year 204. Now, not long after the death of Potamiena, who had died with the above-mentioned Raius and Marcella, one of the executioners named Basilides, who had brought her to death, was converted to the faith in Christ. Eusebius writes, being among his companions and an oath being demanded of him on some special matter, he said that he dared not swear at all because he was a Christian and did openly confess it before them. When they heard this, they thought at first that he was joking, but when he persistently asserted it and showed that he was in earnest, he was seized and cast into prison. How many of you would like that if you just stand there and say, I'm a Christian? And then they grab you and throw you in prison. Would you do that? When you knew that the torture... I mean, this is an executioner, and this last lady, it says that, how did it put it? Oh, let me see. After insufferable and dreadful torment, she was burned by degrees. Just burn a little bit of time. Little bit at a time. Little bit at a time. And they say that burning, you know, burns are the worst pain that you can have. Really, nothing helps. Nothing takes the pain away. They can give you as much morphine as they want. It doesn't really take the pain away. That's what I've been told by, you know, doctors that have worked it. They say nothing really helps and alleviates it. And this is how he executed her. And now he knows that this is what they do to people that claim to be Christians. And he stands there defiantly and says, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to swear that oath. Amen. And then they seize him and throw him in prison. Now, are we willing to stand up in front of our friends, in front of our coworkers for Jesus Christ? What if they laugh at me? Shame on us. That's right. Shame on us. What will my family think? I don't want them to know we can't do that. They might think we're zealous nuts. They might actually think that you love Jesus. How awful. He knew he was going to be seized. He knew what was going to happen. He was seized and cast into prison. When some of the brethren came to visit him and inquired how it happened that he had become changed so suddenly, he fully satisfied them in regard to the matter. Having heard this, they gave him the sign of the Lord. No, that was a joke, okay? They didn't make the sign of the cross, okay? They gave him the sign of the Lord. That is, he was baptized in the name of Christ. The sign of the Lord, baptism. The following day, he was beheaded for the confession of the Lord. Compare the preceding accounts concerning the disciples of Origen with all these other references. Now, Irenaeus, an ancient teacher, after many torments, put to death for the name of Jesus Christ at Lyons in France about the year 210. Irenaeus, by descent an Asiatic, was born at Smyrna. In his youth, he attended school and was a disciple of Polycarp, who was appointed by the Apostle John, bishop of the church at Smyrna, and afterwards became a martyr, as we have already shown in the proper place. On account of his, Irenaeus' special fitness, he subsequently became bishop of the church at Lyons in France in the place of Photinus. Now, let me just stop. Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle, and Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. So this is just, you know, two generations removed from the apostles. Really one man between them. I mean, that's where this is taking place, okay? That's even the connection that he say, hey, my pastor was Polycarp, whose pastor was John.
the apostle. I mean, that's what that's saying, okay? What's that? Likely knew him, yeah. On account of his special fitness, he subsequently became bishop of the church at Lyons in France in the place of Photinus. His erudition was so great that... Sorry, lost my spot. Was so great that Eusebius extols him more than any of the learned who lived before and in his time. Tertullian called him the most remarkable investigator of all manner of learning. Jerome said that he was an apostolic man who lived next to the time of the apostles. Epiphanius gave him the title of a holy and ancient divine, yea, a successor of the apostles. In his ministry, he was so faithful. Now, critical hats, put them on. I want you to think. In his ministry, he was so faithful a servant in the house of the Lord that he had the oversight not only of the church at Lyons, where he was bishop, and other churches in France, but even of some churches in Asia and Phrygia. Do we see anything wrong or right with that? What think ye? Anybody? You want me to read it again? Yeah? Okay. All right. In his ministry, so Irenaeus was so faithful a servant in the house of the Lord that he had the oversight not only of the church at Lyons, where he was a bishop, so he was the pastor there at the church in Lyons, that's what bishop is, and other churches in France, but even of some churches in Asia and Phrygia. Right. Going beyond just the locality where he's at. Different countries, that's right. Different countries. So, this is a departure from New Testament doctrine. This, as good as a man may be, now look, some of you are thinking, well, aren't we going to start another church and you're going to be the pastor of both of them? Yes, I'm doing the work of an evangelist. Amen. That's biblical, what I'm doing. But we're not going to have a church in another state that I'm pastor of that too, and I'm the head of that as well. And not that even any pastor's ahead, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm the designated leader of that church because I can't be there. That's not local. Amen. So you see the beginning even right here in the year 210 of a hierarchy of a priesthood and a laity. What they wouldn't call it that at this time. These are good men departing from New Testament doctrine. That's what we see right here. Good men departing from New Testament doctrine. So at what point do they lose their candlestick as a church? I don't know. But I'd say based on this, they're getting real close. They're getting real close. I just wanted to point that out, okay? Now, concerning his death, the ancient historians have left us but little information of the time as well as of the manner of his martyrdom. We find, however, in regard to it, the following words. That when the persecution of the Christians under Severus had been instituted in all the countries of the Romans, the city of Lyons too, pursuant to the command of the emperor, was surrounded with soldiers and all the Christians in it put to death with the sword or beheaded. But that Irenaeus, the shepherd of them all, was sought with special diligence and when found was put to death with manifold tortures and was buried by Zechariah his elder. So that's how Irenaeus came to his death. They hunted him down and they wanted him. Well, because he was the leader of them. Now, we looked at some errors that he had allowed to come in, some departure from New Testament doctrine. And we'd say, you know, did he lose his salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation. But good men can be in error. And when good men are in error, we depart from them. And it's not really us departing from them, they're departing from us. They left the path of truth. They stopped walking in the light and they stepped into darkness. And when they do that, okay, you go on that path. Hey, we want to help you if we can, if we can bring you back. But if that's where you're committed to going, you go that way. We're staying right here. And that's the same thing that needs to happen in this church. As we move forward and we start other churches, if we right here, if I as the leader of this church that God has placed here, if I ever step off into apostasy and I start doing things wrong, guess what you all do? Or guess what the churches that we start do? And you try and bring us back, but if we're not coming back, what do? Well, you left. We're going this way. You go off in your error. And that's why it's so important that we have local churches. That each church is independent. Because if we step in error, it's not going to destroy everyone else. If another church steps in error, it's not going to destroy everyone else. That's why we have to be willing to stand by the book, not by personalities or men that we love. Because it's going to be hard, I promise you right now. If somebody that we love steps off in error like that, it's going to hurt every single one of us, and we're not going to be happy about it. But we have to love truth. We have to love the Word of God more than we love those men. And we say, that's what you want. You go that way. We're not going that way. You've separated yourself from us because you've decided to walk in error. We have to be willing to take that stand. The Word of God must be preeminent. Amen. Our love for God must be preeminent. The church in Ephesus, they left their first love. I believe that means they left their love for God. They left their love for God. That's the first and great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. They left that. And I believe in that, they left evangelism is really what I believe they left. But if you love God, you'll keep His commandments. Amen. You know, the reason He came, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you love God, then you're going to love the reason why He came, and you'll do what He came for.